This is November 30, 1976. This is in the I Chapel. Period. Brother Farr will be speaking today.
Farr, as you know, is one of our most tedious faculty members. He's a student and a professor of the Word of God. We have spent long hours studying what he has to share with you to be beneficial to you both now.
Jesus is making clear to these people here, these disciples,
that they are not going out to take the word for Christ.
Amen.
Now don't forget that. Now, I'm for evangelism as far as evangelism ought to go. But there is a place for indoctrinating those who have been evangelized. So that there's a whole lot more for church to do than to just go all out for evangelism. Now, the people that Jesus had come to, his own chosen nation, and he had come to his own, and his own had received him not. So sums up the situation by John. And so he said, to those thou who have rejected him, who will go in before his council and show you how the nation of Israel rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, they put themselves into a position and a condition that they couldn't hear and understand the word, because when Christ spoke it to them clearly and plainly, they rejected it. And they hounded Jesus, especially from this time on to the cross where he died. They rejected him. All right. Then said in verse 12, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now this applies to the nation of Israel. Israelites had many blessed privileges that were theirs. Paul brings this out, that they had privileges above other races of people. One reason unto them was committed to articles of God, that they should be the race of people through whom God was to reveal his word. Therefore, they had this privilege. They had the scriptures. They had the prophets. They had all of these, but they rejected Jesus Christ in his grace. And so he said that from them shall be taken even that which they have. So that I speak to them in parables. Why? Because they see not. A parable is an everyday event or story in life, real actions in life that are thrown beside a spiritual truth to illuminate it to those who have the perception, but those who don't have the perception, it's dark to them. Now, this whole situation is summed up in this. Opportunities come to mankind to hear the word of God. They come, I think, to every generation. That generation becomes dull of hearing. They begin to reject it. And when that happens, they actually lose what they had before. Now listen. Knowledge, right knowledge, is one thing that you gain more of when you share it with others. You gain more of it when you share it with others. All right, now, I want us to notice just exactly what kind of people did Jesus have to preach to. Just how had they become? Let's go to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11 and verses 16 to 19. Whereunto shall I liken this generation? It is like unto children sitting in the marketplaces and calling unto their fellows, and saying, we have pipes unto you, and you have not danced. Literally, we have played that music to you, and you didn't dance. What else? We have mourned, or we have played funeral music to you, and you have not cried or lamented. For John, now listen, for John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he hath a demon. Now John was just a kind of a study. And said, well, he's got a demon. Now then, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, behold, a man gluttonous and a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. The wisdom, but wisdom is justified by her children. All right? They had become totally insensible. They had lost that feeling of being affected. They had failed to use the spiritual perception, the spiritual blessing, the spiritual heritage that they had, and as a result, they had lost the use of it altogether. You take any member of the body, you cease exercising that member of the body, be it a leg, a finger, an arm, or whatnot, and you will soon lose the use of it.
Mm-hmm.
So these people had ceased exercising their privilege. In fact, the business, they had come to accept what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scribes said without ever going into the scriptures and looking for themselves. They had become subservient to their leaders, and their leaders took them for a penny. And as a result of that, they lost everything. They lost their ability to perceive. Is there a way that people today can do something like these people did? Yes. The Bereans were more noble than the Thessalonica because they searched the scriptures daily to see whether the things that were being preached to them were true. Today, somebody may walk up to a church member and ask a question about the Bible, and, they say, I don't know, my pastor said. Okay, they failed to utilize their ability to look into the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And go their thoughts. They just wanted to be people who were fed, but had just grown insensible because they weren't exercising their spiritual heritage, their own prerogative. And so, having failed it as God's nation, Jesus said, from them shall be taken even that which he hath. Now, we want to notice the nature of Jesus' ministry. Let's go to Matthew 12 and note verses 19 through 20. He shall not rise a cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the street. If those wings shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench. Will he send forth justice unto victory? The ministry of Jesus was a ministry of one who took his place along with the people. He was meek and humble. He didn't appear before them as a great Pharisee. And they were looking actually for a king to come instead of Satan. And then when he came among them, he came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. Therefore, he likens it to the scripture in Isaiah, the 48th. He shall not strive. In other words, he'll not go forth and cause necessarily great conflicts or big voice or this, that, and the other. Go down the street, the Pharisees down the street corners, and made long prayers because they wanted to be seen. Jesus didn't do that. All right. It says in verse 20, a bruised reed shall he not break. The bruised reed was an instrument that actually the shepherds used to make music from that. It was a kind of a little pipe. And through this use of so on, the music might be not of the quality as it ought to be. And somebody would throw it aside. No more use. A bruised reed will he not break. In Jesus' day, there were many outcasts. People that society had thrown away. The woman at the well, Mary Magdalene. Now Matthew, the tax collector. All of these, they were outside. They still had something in them if the master touched the light. And he didn't destroy them because they were bruised. And of course, sin has bruised everyone. But he did not cast them aside. A bruised reed will he not break. Tender, loving, sympathetic, and so on. Oh, listen to me today. Well, I've learned something, I think. One thing, at least among the few, I think that I've learned in the last several years. By going back 3 years, there have been students in my seminary years that I picked as going to be outstanding students that would become great teachers. They had the quality, I thought, mentally, and so on, that could do it. And began to kind of encourage them a little bit, and began to coach them a little bit, and went so far as began to put one of them to work somewhat in truth. Where are you today? If I call his name, every one of you know that he led a church out of our work. Wasn't big enough, fellas. Okay, but along comes somebody who doesn't show much potentiality of intellect, leadership, or so on like that. Nobody pays any attention to him. He just not worth anything. A bold degree, you say. But remember this, that the Lord takes the most unlikely, has taken the most unlikely, and used them in his church. All right? And smoking flax shall he not quench. I have a little clay lamp pot or house that Brother Lee bought me when he went to Holy Land. Got it found in the rock city, Judah. The little old pot has a little hole in it, kind of a flat compartment. Got it on one end of it. It looks actually more like a pitcher or a kettle than anything else. And in this little spout, there was a little black wick that, when it was useful, they used. And this had oil in it. All right, as long as the oil was there, it was good for some life. But by and by, the oil is all gone out of it, and really it began to smoke. Now, I don't know whether there's anybody here today that ever did live at a time when you used a kerosene lamp. Okay, when the oil got low in these old kerosene lamps, the roof would char. And it would look like a coal fire and it would smoke that. All right, life has become like that, making flat, offensive. But Christ did acquaint. But what he did, he came along and filled it with oil. Make good life. All the world of religion today goes out to find the ones that have become great by the way the world regards them, the way they judge them, the criteria by which they're judged. All right. And those are the ones. No, Christ came to the lowly one. Now the point is this. Great religious leaders can hardly be rich. Can hardly be rich. All right, let's notice something about the actions of these religious leaders. Let's go to Matthew 12, verses 24. And this. But when the Pharisees heard it, they said, "This fellow doth cast out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons." And Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. And if Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How shall then his kingdom stand? And if I by Beelzebub cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God will come nigh or near unto thee, or come unto thee. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and call his good, except he first bind the strong man, and then he shall call his house? He that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad." Now this is the way these religious leaders reacted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. He had healed a possessed man, verse 22, and this was the reaction of the Pharisees. They said, "He hath a demon." But now I want you to know, Christ puts it right to them. "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God will come unto you." Now this aspect of the kingdom of God that is being spoken of here is the millennium. The time when God is going to give the earth rest from the effects of sin, when it's going to be the time that all the politicians are promising to be for. But they're unable to deliver the good.
Mm-hmm.
And when Jesus comes, he's going to deliver. And he's destroying them now. And the criteria by which they were to judge that he was a man sent from God was because he could go into Satan's kingdom and cast them out. Mm-hmm. Satan wants to burn, he wants to command. And if I do this, you know, I've never been thoroughly convinced that the scribes and Pharisees did not know who Jesus Christ was.
They
know. But they loved to sit in Moses' feet. They wanted to be the good guys. They wanted the people under their thumb. And so this is the reaction. Now, I want to notice in verse 31 and 32 now what happened. Wherefore I send to you all my sin, blasphemy shall be forgiven me. But the blasphemy against the Holy Spirit shall not be forgiven me. And whosoever speaketh the word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Spirit, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this age, neither in the age to come. Now, the result of the redemption of Jesus Christ was the remission to its believers and the unpardoned sin. So that sin was not forgiven in the law age, it hasn't been forgiven in the church age yet. And so far as this is concerned, it will not be forgiven until that little remnant in the terribleness of the great tribulation, they judge and refuse, as some of you can agree. And again, that will nation will be born in a day. Now, what was the attitude of Jesus in the city that had rejected him? Let's go back to Matthew 11 and notice verse 25 through 26. At that time, well, let me get back to verse 24 to just give a summary of what the city had done. Because they had followed the leaders, the people in general. The city praying first and God. And he said in verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time, now notice, Jesus wasn't given. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. In other words, it was God's good pleasure. These individuals, these leaders, sinned against the privileges that were theirs. They rejected him. And the result of that, they couldn't perceive of God's truth. And the great leaders, the people that were counted something in the world, God didn't choose them, but those that the world considered faith. The little folk. The scripture says the common people heard him gladly. All right. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good. I said, I remember years ago, somebody came out with the idea, hey, if we could just get some preachers to go over and get Solomon and converted, we'd change the world. Huh. We're not going to convert Solomon or anybody beside him. And frankly, there's not going to be too many public men converted now. They won't have it. If the news they didn't get there. There have been a few men probably in public there of late, Charles Colson, for instance, who seems to be pretty honest and sincere about what happened to him. Saved man. And he had the audacity a few days ago to say that he's coming up there in the White House and all that. They're not going to do anything for the country. They can't. He said, God will have to do it. God will have to do it. All right? And so, that's what Jesus did. He just said, oh, well, Father, they rejected and seemed good because they didn't come across and said, their ears are soft, their eyes are dull. They sinned against the privilege, the heritage, and the riches. Now, okay, let's come to verse 28 now. And notice the invitation. Since nation Israel has rejected it, since judgment now rests upon the nation of Israel,
because they need justice. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Whosoever will, let him come. All right, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find the rest into your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. All right, so the gifted people have rejected it. But now whosoever sees you, the heavy loaded kingdom, pale outcast and poor, let it come off. Let it come off. So, pardon is personal. It is personal. But when the people heard when, after 7 long years, I battled against my handicap, I used to see how God can be merciful, I think. And I just finally had to let it out and then to
I don't know, there's a doctor's I don't know, the whole thing, the old office.
you know, doing good or the things don't be opened up. All of a sudden, you know, that through the Holy Ghost, you know, look, what you will begin to see the teaching unfold. If you want to be God, and so I give you this good morning as the beginning point now as to why Jesus began to speak in earth. And you can judge your own self, but I just want to challenge you to go and renew your dedication to do the Lord's work.
Yes, the Lord.
Well done.